Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the program today. Well, the debate is less than a week away right now. The debate that I'm referring to is the debate that is going to take place at the Creation Museum between Ken Ham, the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis, and Bill Nye, the science guy. That's going to take place next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. The debate will conclude about 9:30 p.m., and they'll have a Q&A session that will begin about 8:45 p.m. There won't be any intermission during that debate, and it is going to be streamed live, free, by Answers in Genesis. There's been a special debate page that has been put up out there at Answers in Genesis. That debate page is simply called debatelive.org. You go to Answers in Genesis, you can click on a link right there. It'll take you to the debate, and it'll give you all the information that you need in order to stream it live. I know that there's a lot of churches that will be streaming it live and having their congregation there. I know that there's a lot of individuals who will be streaming it live to their home. We're going to be doing kind of a combination of that. I pastor a small church, so we're going to be in our home watching it live that night as well. So I wanted to get Ken Ham, if he was able to do so, to come on the program and to talk to us a little bit about the debate itself and get his perspective as he's preparing for the debate, as he's thinking about what his objective is for it. And so Ken is joining us live right now, all the way from Kentucky, where the debate will take place. Ken, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Ken, what's your preparation look like in preparing for the upcoming debate?
Well, you know, obviously, it's my responsibility to do the best I can to prepare for the debate, and then I need to also trust God to bring the right words at the right time as I'm in this debate. You know, doing these sort of debates is not easy. I find this is much, much harder than just going out to a church and speaking, because you've got certain time limitations. In fact, the format we've agreed to right now is that each of us, Bill and I, will each give a 5-minute, if you like, case statement. We'll state our case in 5 minutes. Each then, you know, listens to the other. Then we each have 30 minutes to make our detailed case, and then we'll each have 5 minutes to rebut, and then another 5 minutes rebuttal, and then we'll be taking questions from the audience. And so, you know, when you have to give your case in 5 minutes to start with, I mean, that's a challenge in itself. And then 30 minutes, I mean, I've got enough material to, you know, be able to talk for hours and hours and hours, of course, because there's so many topics you can cover. So you have to determine exactly what one is going to cover and deal with, you know, the really important issues here that we're talking about, and how one needs to think correctly about the origins issue and the implications of the origins issues too, in regard to, you know, what you believe about who you are and where you came from, and, you know, show people how to understand evidence and interpret evidence and get all that in just that time. So that's going to be a challenge. So I've been working on that, and of course, in the meantime, the requests for media, which, you know, we're thrilled to be able to do, as I'm doing with you, but they're overwhelming. I mean, even from the secular world, it's been amazing, and we have some of the national media wanting to interview us. And I think, for instance, tomorrow, my whole day is nothing but media. So in a way, that takes away from preparation. But nonetheless, you know, one of the great things about this, even before the debate, there are now people talking about creation, evolution, the Bible, Christianity, all over America and all over the world. There are non-Christians talking to their Christian friends about the debate at their workplace. And a lot of Christians are going to use this time to invite non-Christians to the live streaming. The other thing that we've noticed is that it's not just Christians and Christian groups that are live streaming this, but there are many atheist groups who said that they're having events where they're having groups come together and they're going to be live streaming and they're going to be discussing the debate and, you know, what's said, and they'll be talking about it afterwards. And so, you know, it's created a lot of discussion. And actually, I think that's one of the great things that's happened from this, because there's actually been a censorship in our culture. Mm-hmm. There's a censorship in the public schools where students aren't even allowed to critically think about origins, to critically think about evolution. They're not even allowed to hear anything else. And what's being said to them is that, you know, they have to believe evolution as fact, and they're being taught the wrong way. They're being taught that it's science in the same way that, you know, building an airplane is science, but it's totally different. One's talking about origins, the other's talking about what you can do in the present to develop technology. So it's really overcoming that censorship, and I think the Lord has orchestrated this. I mean, we didn't think it would become as big as what it has become. I mean, it's become a media sensation. We have many, many credentialed secular media coming here for the debate. We think we're actually going to get more reporting on this debate than we even did on the opening of the Creation Museum in 2007. That's how big it's become. And so it's become a media sensation. It went viral on the internet. People are talking about it all over the place on the internet. I mean, our Facebook pages have gone wild. People are twittering about it. And I think one of the great things that this has already done, just the announcement of this debate has already done, is help overcome censorship and bring this topic, which is so needed in this nation, about God's word to the minds of people.
Oh, excellent. So glad to hear you say that. I was going to ask what's at stake then in this debate, but I think you just outlined that pretty good, you know, that what's at stake is the word of God, the validity of God's word. Some folks have been telling Bill Nye that he should back out, that being in the debate is really just giving credence to the creationist viewpoint, and that therefore he should just step out of the debate and cancel it. Have you heard those reports?
Oh, we've heard a number of those reports from atheists. For instance, even on the Richard Dawkins website, there was an article saying that that they shouldn't debate creationists. And even on this article, Richard Dawkins himself actually responded and wrote an item there. And he actually, you know, called me a name. He called me a wingnut. he said that wingnuts like this shouldn't be allowed to get out there and say things.
Oh, boy.
You see, Richard Dawkins is an atheist who hates God and he blasphemes God. And of course they don't want creationists having a platform. They don't want people to hear what creation scientists have got to say. It's that censorship, the same censorship they have in the schools. And, you know, it's almost like, if you think about it, you know, these ardent, aggressive atheists, these secularists are a minority in the culture. And yet, even though they're a minority, they really control the education system. They're really controlling what's happening in regard to the culture and getting nativity scenes, Christian symbols, Ten Commandments and so on thrown out of the culture. They're a minority, but they've taken so much ground. It's like a battle, you know, and if there's a war and a particular group of soldiers has taken over ground, there's a battle to get it, then to get it back, there's going to have to be a battle. And what we're really doing is we're really taking back some of that ground and really inspiring the troops out there, hopefully, the Christian troops, to be involved in this spiritual battle. And I tell you what, the atheists don't want to lose any ground, and so they're upset by it. So they don't want us even to be able to get out there and say anything. They want to censor us. And that's what I said. I think one of the great things from this is that it's going to allow people to actually hear things that have been censored from the culture and get them discussing things. And it really does come down to a battle between secularists and Christians. It really comes down to a battle over God's word and man's word. That's what it's all about. And the other thing that you'll see is that they make statements like this. And this in itself is a false representation. It's a misrepresentation. They say, scientists shouldn't debate creationists.
Hmm.
Well, right there, they're saying creationists aren't real scientists.
Right.
And, you know, immediately, it's that idea, if you believe in God, you can't be a scientist. Hey, some of the greatest scientists of all time were creationists. What about Isaac Newton and James Clerk Maxwell, Michael Faraday? Some of the greatest scientists of all time were creationists. But, of course, they ignore all that. Again, it's just an indoctrination process. They're trying to indoctrinate even kids. If you believe in God, you won't be a good scientist. And to a degree, you know, that's what Bill Nye is saying, too. If you believe in creation and you don't believe in evolution, then it's going to undermine science in the culture, and we won't have our technology. You know, I challenged Bill Nye back in 2012 when he came out with his video saying creationism is inappropriate for children.
Mm-hmm.
Name one piece of technology that's dependent upon believing in molecules to man evolution. Just name one piece, because that has nothing to do with our technology.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's what started the whole putting Bill Nye in the forefront of the media was he had said that we won't be able to innovate at all if we allow our children to be to believe in creation, to see that there is a creator of the universe, that would somehow stifle innovation and technology and general sciences, where nothing could be further from the truth. In one of these articles, though, Bill Nye says this. He says, I'm an agnostic. You can't know. But the idea that there is a plan for everybody, that this deity has it all worked out and is really directing things, an extraordinary claim that I find troublesome, unquote. What do you think about that that statement by Bill Nye?
Well, that statement was made on the Huffington Post, and in an interview, a video interview, that was posted on the Huffington Post website. And, you know, right at the beginning of that, even before he says that about being an agnostic, he actually was asked the question, you know, do you believe in God? And he outright said, no. He actually said that. He said, no. But then he went on to qualify his statement by saying, well, you know, you ultimately can't know because, you know, we don't have all evidence, and he can't go out there and scientifically disprove that there's a God and so on. So he admits that. So for all intents and purposes, you know, he's an agnostic. But I would say he's really an atheist. Practical, for all intents and purposes, he's really a practicing atheist, even though he says that he's an agnostic. Mm-hmm. So he says that he doesn't believe in God. And you see, that's really what it's all about. That's his religion. Now, he would deny that he has a religion, but it is. It's a religion. And that determines how he views things. So because he rejects that there's a God who is involved in this universe, he believes everything came about by natural processes. Well, naturalism really is his religion. And therefore, he defines it arbitrarily that if there's a God involved, if you involve God, then you can't talk about science because that has nothing to do with science. But you see, he's the one that's saying that because he has said, no, everything came about by natural processes. That's his belief. So, so those who believe in God, well, that's it. You can't do science. It's his way of saying only those with my religion can be involved in these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad aspect, and that's the bottom line. That's why this whole area is very important, because the other thing is, if we're just an animal and if there's no God, then who determines right and wrong? Well, how do you view your fellow man if we're just all animals? It affects how you would view the abortion issue. Well, for instance, in abortion, you would just be killing another animal. So what's the difference? Whereas from a biblical perspective, you'd be killing someone made in the image of God. And what does God's word say about that? So you see, these issues are very important.
Mm-hmm. Ken, let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Ken Ham, the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis, and we're speaking with him about the upcoming debate that will take place next Tuesday night. That's February 4th, 2014, at the Creation Museum in Kentucky. And that debate will be broadcast live. If you want to find out information about how you can view that live stream or how you can host a live streaming of that debate at your home or at your church, you can go out to a special website that Answers in Genesis has put together. It's called debatelive.org. That's debatelive.org. And you can go out there and find out all the information. They have a frequently asked question page about the live stream, and it answers all your questions, technical questions, and so forth. He's going to be debating Bill Nye, who's best known as the science guy. It was actually in the 90s, I think, that that program was on and originally created. But Bill Nye, the science guy, will be debating Ken Ham at that debate. Ken, when I talked with you in person here in Greenville at the Teach Them Diligently convention, there had been an attack that had come against Christianity, specifically a small Christian school here in this area. And so you and I were talking about that, and you had mentioned during that discussion that the debate or the attacks against Christianity had ratcheted up from the president all the way down, referring to Christians as part of the Flat Earth Society and so forth. And we're seeing more and more attacks, atheistic attacks against Christianity. However, there's another front that is taking place that may be more insidious. And this front is found among those that actually claim to be believers. You recently took issue with an article written by a fellow by the name of Jim Stump, a PhD of philosophy at Boston University, and one of the content managers for BioLogos. Speak to that issue, the way that we're finding those that are claiming to be believers but denying Genesis, and what a danger that is to the church.
Well, you know, there's a scripture that says there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm.
And we're dealing with a battle today. We're actually dealing with two battlefronts. It's interesting. You would think as Christians, the enemy of Christians in that sense, you know, as a battle, looking at it from a spiritual battle perspective, because, you know, the Bible uses battle imagery and put on the whole armor of God and
yes.
so on. Well, you'd expect, well, the enemy would be those who are against God and those who, you know, fight for atheism and so on. But, see, that's one battlefront. But another battlefront we have, which to me is the one that is the worst battlefront, and it's a sad one, and that is with Christians, or people who say that they're Christians. One of the problems that we've got is no different to what was happening, in the days of the Israelites. And if you read through the minor prophets, one of the big problems that they had was that the shepherds were leading the sheep astray. And there were leaders who were compromising with the Canaanite religions and not doing things the way that they should and so on. And really, it's no different today. One of the big problems we've got is the increasing number of Christian academics, even pastors, Christian leaders, theologians, you know, seminary professors, Christian college professors, who take the world's religion to explain life without God, and that's what evolution is. It's really the world's religion to explain life without God, and they add it to the Bible and try to change the Bible in Genesis to fit it in. And, you know, somebody who is well known for doing that in recent times was Hugh Ross, and he was out of California, and he put out a lot of books and so on, and so people were quoting him, oh, well, he says you can believe in the Big Bang, God did it. But in recent times, there's more now of an organized group that is really trying to get theistic evolution taught in the church. It's trying to get the church to accept evolution, and that is a group called BioLogos, who received some of their funding from the Templeton Foundation, which is not known for funding conservative Christian causes.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of BioLogos right now is a Calvin College professor, Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's on leave from the college, but she is a professor who's heading up BioLogos at the present time. And the person that you referred to recently wrote an article, you know, for instance, talking about the genealogies in the book of Genesis and how you've got people who live for long ages. And he was trying to come up with reasons as to why you couldn't accept that. In other words, why the Bible had to be wrong, why those people couldn't live for hundreds of years. It must have meant something else. But these are the same group that they'll read that, you know, in Genesis, God made Adam from dust, woman from his side. And they'll say, well, you know, God could have made, you know, ape-like creatures that evolved into humans, took two of them, made them into Adam and Eve. Or maybe Adam and Eve represents, you know, groups of these people that evolved from previous ape-like creatures. This is the sad thing. And one of the things we have also done, we did research, and I know you know about a book called Already Gone,
mm-hmm.
where we did research with America's Research Group to find out why is it that two-thirds of young people are leaving the church by the time they reach college age. We do have an exodus from the church in America. And a lot of it came down to them being influenced by Christian leaders and by the public schools and by you know, what they were seeing on television, to believe in evolution of millions of years, that caused them to doubt the Bible. They weren't taught to defend their faith, and the more that they doubted, the more they saw that, well, you can't trust what's written here in Genesis, how can you trust the rest? And they throw it all away, and they walk away. And sadly, I would say that the people at BioLogos, even though they might be PhDs and, you know, academics in different fields and so on, what they're really trying to do is to change God's word to fit it in with man's word. You know, in reality, what they're saying, man's word is infallible. It's God's word that's fallible. It's the other way around. We should be using God's word to judge man's word. They have a whole different view of Scripture than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it was the same thing, of course, with liberalism early on, like in the 40s and 50s and so forth. People wanted to gain the respect of the world around them, the academics and so forth around them. And so they were willing then to capitulate on the word of God. And that's exactly what we're seeing today with this issue related to creation and related to the opening 11 chapters specifically of the book of Genesis. They just seem to be giving in on this. Ken, is it fair to make this statement then that this debate is certainly important? There's no doubt about that. And from the aspects that you've already talked about, the media exposure and so forth. But this is one battle in a protracted war. And if you want to be equipped for that type of battle, you would do well then to take advantage of the resources that are put out by Answers in Genesis.
Well, certainly, you know, it is a battle. We're involved in a battle, and this debate is just, it's in a way, it's bringing that battle into the public arena in a way that hasn't happened for quite a while and really needs to happen, because this nation is turning its back on God. And, you know, there is a battle out there for the hearts and minds of our children, to drag them away from the Lord and to take them away and convert them into secularism, atheism. And that's one of the reasons why we do produce all the resources we do and available through our website, answersingenesis.org, and why we go out and do the speaking we do, why I'll even do the debates like this, why we write books, produce DVDs. We need to equip people. You know, really, Answers in Genesis is like a big reservoir. And one of the verses of Scripture reminds me of what's happening today is from the book of Hosea, where it says, "My people suffer from a lack of knowledge." And that's part of the problem today. People suffer from a lack of knowledge. Many Christians don't know the answers to the skeptical questions of this age. They don't know how to defend the Christian faith against the secular attacks. And I'm hoping that, you know, just this debate next Tuesday night is going to show people that we can defend our faith and there are answers. And, of course, I can only give some things briefly in that debate, but I hope it'll be enough to be an example to say, look, we've got answers. We can defend our faith. And I pray it'll rally the troops to say, hey, we need to get out there and start doing this. And let's get read up on these things. Let's study these things. We've already got the answers in all sorts of books, like our answers books and so on. People can get equipped. Get those answers, learn how to defend their faith. And so I'm really praying that Tuesday night will help in that sense, inspire and rally the troops to say, hey, we all need to be out there at the front of this battle and dealing with these issues, because there is a battle for the hearts and minds of people, and we want to see people in heaven with us.
Amen. Ken, can we have a closing word of prayer as we close out the broadcast today, or this interview today?
Absolutely.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and praise thee for the wonderful gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the gift of thy word that is so precious to us. We pray for Ken and for the folks there at AIG and this upcoming debate, and we pray for Bill Nye and those that are involved on the other side as well. We pray that the Spirit of the living God would be evident in this debate. We pray that much would be made and seen of Christ and the glories of his word. We pray that your people would be stirred up to a fresh, a renewed diligence to the word of God and the sufficiency of the word that's been given to us. Do a great work, Lord. Do a work through Ken, as you've already have, through his ministry there at AIG. Continue to do that work in a mighty way this upcoming week, we pray. For we pray that in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen.
Amen.
Ken, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Okay. That was Ken Ham that we were speaking to. As you could tell, he's very, very busy. And as he mentioned, he's got a number of other media interviews to do tomorrow. So we were certainly happy that we could get him on the broadcast today to be able to talk about this subject. This is this could be a watershed moment in our country. And as you know, we need it in this country. Our country is in dire straits. Our country is at a crossroads. And not just the country, but oftentimes the evangelical church as well. And so we'll pray that, as I just mentioned there in that prayer, that God would mightily use this event for his glory and for the good of his church.